Welcome into the FWFB Football Podcast. I'm Colin Weatherwax, your host today. Joining me today is Donnie Miller. How's it going, Donnie?
Pretty good. How are you?
Doing pretty good. We're going to be reviewing our AFC West, and I say our AFC West because we're both Raiders fans. So we'll try to mix in a little bit of Broncos, Chiefs, and Chargers talk before we get to our Raiders tangent of about 30 minutes to an hour. So, but Donnie, where can our listeners find you on Twitter?
So it's at Donnie Miller FWFB.
All right. And you can find me at CWeatherwax13. So we're going to start off with the Broncos. Basically, we're going to cover the quarterbacks, running backs, wide receivers, tight ends, and a few defenses as well. Try and get you ready for this upcoming fantasy football season. Get you ready for all the drafts coming up as well. So starting off with the Broncos, they had an interesting offseason. They actually might have solidified their quarterback position by signing Case Keenum. So, Donnie, do you think that Case Keenum is worth drafting in a standard 12-team league with only one quarterback?
As a starter, I mean, as a backup, yeah. To be your starter, no. It looks like, looking at the ranks, we both have him around 20. You have him 22 and I have him 19. So maybe as a backup, but that's about it.
Yeah, I think based off last season, you know, he kind of burst on the scene and took over the Vikings job after week one. And basically everyone was playing with house money if you picked him up and started him the rest of the season. But I think coming up into this season, I don't have high hopes for Case Keenum. He's going to a little bit less of an offense. I mean, they do have some decent weapons in Demaryius Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders, but I think Thomas is hitting the twilight of his career, so he's not going to be as dominant as he once was. But I think Keenum's definitely going to fall off of his performance last year, and he'll probably, you know, he might be a streamer some weeks, but if you're in a bind, then I would take him as like the last pick in the draft. But he's not someone I'm definitely targeting to be my starter come week one.
Yeah, and I would say, you know, is he a flash in the pan type quarterback? We won't know until after the season, obviously. But Bill Musgrave is offensive coordinator for the Broncos, and as we both know, he's at least an above average offensive coordinator that should be able to help him. And you know, they have some weapons around him, at least at wide receiver.
Yeah, that is the one thing that they can say. You know, they actually have some weapons for him to throw to. So he's a decent streamer. I'm definitely looking for him in best balls and also towards the end of my draft in a one quarterback league, but not someone that I'm going to feel confident as my starter every week. So their running back situation is a little strange as well because, you know, they lost CJ Anderson this offseason. They have Devontae Booker there from last year, and then they drafted this kid Royce Freeman out of Oregon this year in the third round. So which running back do you want out of the Broncos backfield? Do you want Royce Freeman, who's going in about pick number 78, so that's about the sixth round, or do you want to wait and see what Booker can give you and get him, you know, 50 picks later?
Personally, I think Devontae Booker is not very good. I don't think he stands a chance to start for them. I think Royce Freeman takes the job and runs with it basically right out of the gate. And kind of looking at Royce Freeman, he had a lot of injuries at Oregon. It kind of affected his draft stock. He fell to the third round. He's a bigger back that kind of like runs soft. Like he weighs 230 pounds, but he doesn't run like he weighs 230 pounds. But the comp for him was Jordan Howard, and that's kind of around like that type of player is what I would expect from Royce Freeman. Nothing flashy, just a solid running back basically that can play all three downs.
Yeah, when I think of Jordan Howard, I think of a tank. So I remember watching Royce Freeman in college, and you know, he played in Oregon, so that's that spread offense. And I just remember seeing him running up and down the sideline, just kind of like a scat back, speed back. So I think I'm with you. I'm a little bit hesitant on his price, paying for him in the sixth or seventh round, because he is a rookie. There is a chance that they go with a veteran to begin the season and I'm dropping him, or he's sitting on my bench for the first couple weeks. So I think for me, I might avoid this situation. If Freeman drops a little bit in ADP or if Booker's still there towards the end of my draft, I might take a flyer on either of them, but they're not someone that I'm actively seeking to draft this year.
Yeah, and their offensive line is terrible.
Yeah. Well, the Broncos themselves are terrible, but I mean, we won't go into that tangent yet.
Menelik Watson, he's their starting right tackle, I think. So.
Yeah, and he was not good with the Raiders. He had some injuries last year with the Broncos, and if he's your best offensive lineman, you got some issues for sure. Yeah. And one of their top players for the past few years has been Demaryius Thomas. Like I said earlier, their number one wide receiver there. Do you think that he's overvalued or undervalued this year coming into drafts? He's being drafted currently at pick number 44, which is right there at the tail end of the beginning of the fourth round. Do you think he's overvalued or undervalued at that price?
So I just finished my ranks today. Well, actually, I just started them and finished them today, but I ranked Demaryius and Sanders back to back at 25 and 26. So I would say Demaryius Thomas is kind of being overvalued currently. I'd rather take Sanders a couple rounds later.
For me, I don't think I want either of them. I'm nervous about Demaryius Thomas's injury history with his hip. He seems to be banged up a little bit. I see in our ranks, I have him 25th, you have him 26th. So we're not looking at him at this price because, you know, right now he's being drafted in the fourth round, and that's just way too rich for us. I mean, just a couple guys that we'd rather have over him. I see Larry Fitzgerald. I see Josh Gordon, Brandon Cooks, Juju Smith-Schuster, and Golden Tate. So I think those guys are safer with Case Keenum coming in, new system, you know, new weapons. He's had all offseason to throw to them, but like I said, Thomas could get injured. And it's also the same argument for Sanders. I mean, he's a quick guy, but he has had some concussion issues and some injury issues in the past as well. Do you think that he's over or undervalued at his 80th overall ADP, which is right there in the 7th, 8th round?
For Sanders, I think that's about right. The only thing with Sanders is, you know, you question is how many games is he going to play? And when he does play, is he going to be healthy enough? I do think Sanders is the better wide receiver, but he's also more likely to be hurt than Demaryius and I don't know. I mean, I guess Sanders would be the best value.
Yeah, I don't think I would call that a value pick in the 7th, 8th round. I mean, that is kind of getting towards the tail end of your wide receivers, your top class. But I have him ranked as my 36th wide receiver. I have no confidence in him coming into this season. I have to see it from Case Keenum to see if he can, you know, sustain one good wide receiver. I mean, he had the connection with Thielen last year and Diggs came on late as well, but I don't want any part of this offense. I just don't have any confidence in it right now.
So you have no interest in Courtland Sutton then also?
No, definitely not in Courtland Sutton. Sutherland, I think, is his name, but yeah, he's a tall kid from SMU. I know they drafted him in the first or second round, so they have high hopes for him, but I don't want the top two guys in their offense. So I'm definitely not looking, you know, towards the bottom of the barrel, and especially not a rookie wide receiver coming in with a flash in the pan quarterback possibly.
So who's your favorite player off this offense to draft?
Who's their center? Oh, to draft. Okay. Like I said before, maybe Freeman or Booker if they fall enough. And then I would take a flyer on Keenum towards the end of my draft if I need a backup or in a best ball situation. But I don't see myself, you know, taking any of their wide receivers unless they're there in like the 15th round.
Yeah, I agree. And side note, but Jared Verdier is their starting right tackle now.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's not it. They're just taking the ex-Raiders. And that was when our offensive line was terrible. Oh, man. Good for the Broncos. I hope they have a terrible time, you know, blocking Khalil Mack this year. But one of the guys that I was actually in on last year, unfortunately he didn't play a snap for them, is their tight end, Jake Butt. He came off a ACL injury in Michigan. They drafted him towards the end of the draft in 2017. So I took a flyer on him in a few best balls last year, and he never saw the field. But do you think that he could be a sleeper tight end, you know, in the landscape of tight end position and you know, fantasy football? Basically, anybody that, you know, gets three or four catches is definitely viable for your lineup. So is he someone that you're targeting in either a best ball format or just a standard league?
Looking at their they have three tight ends that are actually all pretty interesting. Jeff Heuerman, he was drafted 2 years ago, 3 years ago in the third round. And then Jake Butt, who tore his ACL right before the draft, who was supposed to go in the second round or third round and fell to the fifth because of that. And then they drafted Troy Fumagalli out of Wisconsin, who's also an intriguing prospect. But I would say whoever is the starter out of those three does have some value, given that their wide receivers are always hurt. They're probably going to start a rookie running back in case Keenum's going to need somebody safe over the middle to throw the ball to. So if it's Jake Butt that starts, I do think he has some value in a deeper format.
Yeah, I agree. I think he has some value in like a best ball situation or, you know, a deeper league. I'm definitely not, you know, targeting him as my starting tight end because I think he'll be available on the wire. If he has a decent game, then you go out there and pick him up. But he's definitely someone to keep an eye on. We're going to skip over kicker just because it's kickers. But I do have a question about their defense. So they drafted Bradley Chubb this year, top five overall pick. Do you think that their defense has a chance to be a top five overall fantasy defense this year?
Yeah, I mean, the top defense 2 or 3 years ago when they went on that Super Bowl run. I have them at six. But so, yeah, they're basically right on the door of a top five defense as is with Bradley Chubb and Von Miller. They kind of have that combination like the Chargers do in Bosa and Ingram. And then they still have a good secondary with Chris Harris and Bradley Roby. So I would definitely – and they still have Derek Wolfe, solid linebacker. So I would say they're right there on the border of being a top five defense depending on how well Bradley Chubb plays.
Now, Donnie, do you pick defenses before the last round?
Yeah, so on my strategy in like shallower leagues, because I play in a couple like 10-team leagues, is to take a top kicker and defense like in the second and third to last round, so right before most people do, so I can get a so basically I can be good at every position, you know, since it's such a shallow league and there's going to be so many guys to pick up that are solid and that will get playing time. So I always try to get like a top 10 player for each position. So yeah, usually in a shallower format, yeah, I would like the third to last round, I would take a defense.
Yeah, for me, I don't take defenses until the last round. I might reach for a kicker like Justin Tucker just because I love him. But as far as the defenses go, I usually try to stream them. And the reason I ask that is because I don't think I'll be able to draft the Broncos defense. I agree with everything that you said. I think adding Chubb, having Von Miller, their secondary didn't, you know, get too much worse losing Aqib Talib because they just slide Bradley Roby over and they still have Chris Harris. So they are, I think I have them ranked sixth as well, along with you. So I think that they have a pretty good chance of being a top five defense this year, but I don't think I'll be able to draft them unless someone doesn't believe in them at all.
Yeah. And like you said, in deeper formats, I would do the same thing. I wait on and take whatever the best one is in the last round or second to last round, whatever I want to do, kicker and defense wise.
Yeah, definitely. So now we'll move over to the Kansas City Chiefs. They had a interesting offseason by letting Alex Smith go sign a multi-million dollar contract elsewhere, and it looks like they're moving forward with Patrick Mahomes at quarterback. So I ask you, Donnie, is Patrick Mahomes a QB1 this year?
In a 12-team league, I think he's on the border. I have him ranked at 14th currently, but I mean, this might be – Patrick Mahomes might be my favorite quarterback to draft this year just based on like potential and flash plays and just what he can do physically with his arm. And, you know, the offense that he's in with Andy Reid and these weapons that he has at his disposal.
Yeah, for me, I love Patrick Mahomes. I'm not the biggest fan of him. I do think there's a lot of flaws in his game. I think he needs to definitely become more accurate. I think sitting behind Alex Smith last year was probably the best thing for him. So I think as far as like a best ball play, he is the ultimate, you know, lightning rod. He could, you know, he could be a QB1 this year, or he could, you know, struggle mightily. So like you said, he's in a pretty good offense. I do not believe in Sammy Watkins, but, you know, he might actually stay healthy a year and produce. I think Tyreek Hill is a good complementary receiver. And of course they have Travis Kelce and Kareem Hunt. So for me, I have him ranked 17th. He is the ultimate upside play for me. If I'm looking, you know, if my roster looks good and I'm okay drafting him, I'll just get a safer backup just in case I have to stream. But I think at the end of the year, I wouldn't be surprised if he's a QB1, but then again, I wouldn't be surprised if he, you know, shows up like Blake Bortles and has a lower end QB2 year.
Yeah. And with Mahomes, he might have the strongest arm in the NFL. It's got to be right there with Aaron Rodgers. I mean, this guy could, he can probably throw the ball 80 yards, kind of like Jamarcus Russell could. But anyways, I mean, with Andy Reid, with their speed at wide receiver, there's definitely going to be some big plays from this offense. You know, Sammy Watkins, Tyreek Hill, Chris Conley. I mean, that might be the fastest three wide receivers in the NFL. So there definitely should be some big plays out of this offense with Mahomes just slinging it.
Yeah, and you keep going back to Andy Reid. Like I said, I think this was the best situation for him to get drafted into because he had no pressure last year to play. Alex Smith kind of made sure of that. And then Andy Reid had a whole year to groom him and teach him, you know, the offense, the way that he wants it ran. And we saw a little glimpse of that in week 17. So like I said, he's a lightning round player this year. There's a chance that he could be, you know, a top five, top 10 quarterback this year. But then there's also the pessimist in me that says, you know, he hasn't shown it yet. He always had the accuracy issues. So if I want the ultimate risk and I like my team, then I'll definitely take him. But I might see myself playing it a little bit safer at QB this year.
Yeah. Did you watch that game? His one start against Denver?
I watched bits and pieces. He did look, you know, decent. But I think Denver, you know, they were kind of disinterested at that point in the season. But you know, there is a chance, like I said, if he had a year of improvement, under Andy Reid and on, you know, on the practice field, if he can improve his accuracy, he definitely has the weapons there. So there's a chance that he could be, you know, a top 10 quarterback.
Yeah. So with that start at Denver, it was week 17. Like you said, they won 27-24. It was at Denver. Denver was basically the team was fighting for their coach to basically keep the job. And they were also trying to kick Kansas City out of the playoffs. So that Denver defense was ready to go. And Mahomes threw for 280 yards, no touchdowns, but he did have an interception. But he completed like 63% of his passes against that Denver defense last year, which was still a top 10 defense. I mean, some of the plays he was able to make were pretty crazy.
Yeah, I remember one where he was rolling to the right and threw completely back to the left and, you know, completed it. So he does have, like I said, lightning round player, very talented, very fun to watch. But it's just if you want to take the risk or if you want to play it safe, that's what it is for me. A lot of people last year took a risk on Kareem Hunt as soon as Spencer Ware went down in the preseason and they drafted him, you know, with a third or fourth round pick. And he produced, I mean, he produced like a, you know, like a all pro running back for most of the season. He came onto the scene with a huge game against New England and he just kind of took off from there. So coming into this year, are you comfortable taking Kareem Hunt over Melvin Gordon, who's also in this division?
No, I mean, I personally like Melvin Gordon a lot more. Those couple big games really inflated Kareem Hunt's yards. And let's see, what was that game he had against? He had like two or three huge games.
Yeah, it was at the beginning of the season. I know it was against New England and possibly his second or third game as well. I have Kareem Hunt ranked seventh and also Melvin Gordon ranked sixth. So I'm right there with you. I mean, it's a toss-up for me. I think one of the biggest things going into the middle towards the end of the year that Andy Reid caught a lot of heat for was not giving Kareem Hunt enough touches. So I think another year of seeing what he can do in this offense – might help Andy Reid kind of form the offense around him and also take some pressure off of Patrick Mahomes as well.
Yeah, so he had three touchdowns and almost 250 yards in that first game against New England. So, and then he had two touchdowns after that in the Philly game. So, I mean, a lot of his touchdowns did come in the first two games of the season. You know, touchdowns, we all say, are fluky somewhat. But he did have a stretch where he was highly inefficient in the middle of the season before finishing off the season much better. But I think Melvin Gordon is the better value. He's probably even the better running back overall.
Yeah, that's possible. I do like Kareem Hunt in this offense, though. Like I said, I think that they might lean on him a little bit more than let Patrick Mahomes throw the ball. Just at least to start off the season, kind of get Mahomes' feet under him, and you know, leaning on Kareem Hunt is probably not a bad idea as well. So as long as Andy Reid has learned from his mistakes last year, I think he definitely should be taken in the first round, probably towards the end. And if he's there in the second, I'm definitely jumping on him. So moving over to their wide receiver core, another lightning rod player. I hate to use that term, but Tyreek Hill. I mean, wow, this guy is fast. He's electric. He's so fun to watch. What are your thoughts on Tyreek Hill before we get into his ADP and all that?
So I probably have the opposite take that you do on Tyreek Hill. I personally love him. I have him at wide receiver 13, which I know you definitely don't have him that high. You think of him as a one-trick pony. But he's just so dynamic. They find creative ways to get him the ball, however they can, reverses, screens, whatever Andy Reid can think of, punt returns, kick returns. He's too electric to not get him the ball. He's kind of like how Percy Harvin was when he was before the concussions. Like, he's just too dynamic to not get the ball. He's by far the fastest player in the NFL. With a big arm quarterback that likes to throw it deep, there definitely is going to be some big plays, some long touchdowns that he'll have. You know, moving from an Alex Smith to Patrick Mahomes should help his value, I would say, since Alex Smith, we all know, has a noodle for a throwing arm.
Yeah, that was the talk coming into last year about Alex Smith not being able to throw the deep ball, but obviously Tyreek Hill doesn't get his production that he had last year without Alex Smith. So, like you said, you know, I do think Tyreek Hill is a one-trick pony. I think he's full of speed, and that's it. I do believe in Andy Reid getting him the ball and getting him enough touches. I just hope it doesn't take away from Kareem Hunt. But I just don't see him as a polished receiver. I don't see him as a great route runner. I don't see how he can be the best wide receiver or, you know, skill position player in that offense whenever there's Travis Kelce, whenever there's Kareem Hunt, and even Sammy Watkins if he's healthy. So that being said, Tyreek Hill is being taken at pick number 27 on average in average draft possession. And that goes ahead of Doug Baldwin, Adam Thielen, and T.Y. Hilton. So what do you think about that, Donnie? Do you like Tyreek Hill that much that you're going to take him over Baldwin, Thielen, and Hilton?
Let me check. So Baldwin is like, I have him ranked back to back. T.Y. I have ranked lower. And who was the other one that you said? Thielen, I have ranked Thielen before Hill and Baldwin. So, I mean, he's right in the middle of that range, basically. I just think that, you know, they have a big arm quarterback that likes to throw the deep ball. Andy Reid has been waiting to open up the offense for since they traded for Alex Smith, basically. And I mean, there's going to be fireworks.
Yeah, there's no doubt there's going to be fireworks. I mean, this guy is electric, and then if Patrick Mahomes is thrown into him, then yeah, it's going to be all over SportsCenter. Let's just say that. But as far as taking him ahead of Doug Baldwin, I can't see it. I mean, he's their number one option, and I'm not sure if Tyreek Hill is their number one or number two option in this offense. And then Adam Thielen had a great year last year. I do like Adam Thielen this year as well. And then T.Y. Hilton, if Andrew Luck's there, then we know what he can do. I do have Tyreek Hill one spot ahead of T.Y. Hilton, but that's just because of my uncertainty with Andrew Luck. So that being said, I probably will not own Tyreek Hill this year. I don't think I can afford him at his average draft position now. And then what are your quick thoughts on Sammy Watkins in this offense as well?
I actually believe in Sammy Watkins this year. I don't know why. I guess it's just because Andy Reid believes in him. So, I mean, what choice do we really have? He signed a 3-year, $48 million contract this offseason, which I don't think anyone predicted him. He was going to get that much. Obviously, super talented, but can never stay on the field. Hopefully, he's basically had this whole offseason to get healthy again, to work with Mahomes. Andy Reid should get him right. And, his offense is already stacked with weapons, so defenses won't be able to focus in on just Sammy Watkins. I kind of think he's going to bust out this year. Him and Tyreek Hill on the outside has to scare defense coordinators.
Yeah, that's true. And I'm looking at, Sammy Watkins' profile here. I can't believe he's only 25. I mean, I thought this guy's been in the league for so long. I remember whenever we passed on him, I think Buffalo traded in front of us to get him, and I was very upset. But we ended up with Khalil Mack, so that's fine. But, I want to believe in Sammy Watkins. I'm just very nervous about his injury history. I'm very nervous about his role in this offense. I think he might have the same type of production he had last year with the Rams, where they kind of just have all these playmakers and he's kind of, like a bystander. And sometimes he had a good game, sometimes he didn't. I just don't feel comfortable starting him every week. He would be, a guy on my bench or a guy in best ball that I'd be more comfortable having.
Didn't Buffalo trade him, though, like the first week of the season or something like that? Like after training camp, isn't it like week one?
Yeah, that's true. I mean, he didn't really get to, have an off season with the Rams, but it just never felt like he fit there. And then also they featured Robert Woods. They featured Todd Gurley, of course. They had a lot of weapons on that offense and they could just never seem to involve Watkins for longer than one game.
I agree with everything you say. The guy's always hurt, but if Andy Reid thinks he deserves that much money, I just can't see him not producing. Like, I just don't, I don't know.
Yeah. And I hope for the best for Sammy Watkins. If he's healthy, I'll probably be wrong on this statement, but as for now, I probably won't, draft him as a wide receiver 2 or 3.
Hopefully he's not that good year. Because then they're going to run away with the division.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah, we got to keep that in mind. So, and then to wrap this up with Travis Kelce. So he's consensus, top 3 tight end. Some people have him ranked 1. Some people have him ranked 2 or 3. There's little debate between the top 3 this year. But I'm going to test you on this one, Donnie. Would you rather take Travis Kelce or Tyreek Hill? They're going about the same average draft position right now. Which one do you take just based off of – not based off of need, just say you only have flex positions. Which
Kelce, one do you take? Because he's safer. You said I couldn't use position, but that would be another reason why. Just because tight end's so shallow, I have a hard time ranking anybody outside the top 5. So there's quite a drop-off after that, those 5.
Yeah, and see, I think – I would probably take Kelce, of course, because I don't believe in Tyreek Hill, which I've already gone on a tangent about that. But like you said about Tyreek Hill, about how Andy Reid kind of caters the offense around him, I see, them doing screens to Travis Kelce. They do seams. He's probably their best pass catcher. I mean, there's no doubt about it. And just him and Kareem Hunt, they're the one and two guys in that offense. I like the one and two guys in the offense more than I like, you know, a speed threat and Tyreek Hill. And I think Tyreek Hill is going to have his flashy plays. I think he's going to have a few plays ran for him every game. But I think Kelce will have a playbook designed around him. So for me, it's Travis Kelce.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the old saying is like a tight end is a young quarterback's best friend. Well, Travis Kelce should be Patrick Mahomes' best friend then. I actually have Kelce as my number one tight end over Gronk.
Wow. Yeah, see, I have him third. So, like I said, the top three is kind of indisputable with Gronk, Ertz, and Kelce. But I can't fault you for having him there. As long as he doesn't have any concussions and he still stays healthy, he has a pretty good chance of being number one this year.
Yeah, I mean, Gronk's always going to miss games. He's always going to get hurt somehow. It's a matter of when. Kelce's always on. He seems to always be playing, always making, you know, over the middle, catching passes.
Yeah, and he's definitely a threat in the red zone as well. So, yeah, he's right up there with the top three in the class for tight ends this year. And before we move on to the Los Angeles Chargers, I want to remind everyone to go to podcastawards.com and nominate us for the Podcast Awards. Just nominate for FWFB in the People's Choice categories and also in the sports categories. We really appreciate your votes. And like I said, just go to podcastawards.com and cast your votes for us as a company in FWFB. So moving on to the Los Angeles Chargers. The question that I have, it hurts me to ask it, Donnie. It really does. Is Philip Rivers the best fantasy quarterback in this division?
I mean, we talked about this a little bit earlier today, but I have him ranked as the third quarterback behind Carr and Mahomes, but he's by far the safest. He's kind of right in that middle of like a he's not a quarterback one, but he's not a quarterback two. He's just right in the middle. He's just a borderline quarterback one. And I mean, the guy's always chucking the ball all over the place. He's always top of the leaderboard for yards. He does throw a lot of interceptions usually, so that also counters, you know, the touchdowns a little bit. But I would say he's like a borderline quarterback one. And like I said, I have him third in this division.
Yeah, for me, I actually have him third as well. But I agree with your statement that he's probably the safest. I remember last year owning him, and he was just consistently putting up, you know, 20-plus fantasy points every week just because he basically runs that offense. I mean, Melvin Gordon is going to get his, but at the end of the day, Philip Rivers is going to throw, you know, 40 to 50 passes a game. And if Keenan Allen is healthy this year, like he was last year, he could definitely have, you know, the most consistent as far as, you know, a fantasy season goes. And like you said, the safest fantasy season, there's just not that much upside.
Yeah. And Ken Wisenhunt, they were able to keep him still. So as their offense coordinator, he helped kind of resurrect Philip Rivers a few years ago. It's a great fit. I would worry about them at tight end though, but as long as Keenan Allen stays healthy, Philip should put up the numbers that he always does.
Yeah, he's definitely a target in, you know, like a safer, if you want to take a safe quarterback, you feel good about your team and you just want to make sure you get your points. I'll definitely take him in a standard league and put him on my bench or in a best ball format as well. I think he's going pretty cheap as far as ADP this year. So you can definitely get him kind of late and, you know, get a riskier guy towards the beginning of the draft as well.
I mean, he's probably the one quarterback that gets overlooked every single year. Like he beats his draft position almost every year. He's always going, you know, he's never going in the top 10, but it seems like he's always finishing as a top 10 quarterback.
Yeah, that's definitely true. I mean, like you said, he always gets his. It's just the fact that, you know, he's going to be consistently boring. It's just there's no upside. But if all of his weapons stay healthy, he's going to be a great streamer this year for quarterbacks. So moving over to Melvin Gordon, can he continue to produce in the passing game like he did last year? They kind of featured him once, you know, they didn't really have like a pass catching running back going into the season. They, you know, they let Danny Woodhead go. So they kind of put everything on Melvin Gordon's shoulders. So do you think that he can continue to improve in the passing game and still keep up his numbers as a running back as well?
Yeah, I think they're actually going to, his usage will actually go up this year. Part of the reason I like him so much more than Kareem Hunt. Anthony Lynn is a, you know, the head coach is a former running back coach, and he's recently said that, you know, they're trying to figure out how to get him the ball even more, how to feed him as much as possible. Basically, like, he basically made it sound like he was going to be the offense. Like, they were going to run the offense through Melvin Gordon. They're going to get him the ball however they have to get him the ball, but to get him at least 20 touches a game. And so, yeah, I do think his, you know, he'll get the ball more than last year.
Yeah, and I agree. I have him ranked sixth, right along with you, Donnie. I think that they're going to run the offense through Phillip Rivers, like I said before. But Melvin Gordon has continued to show that he can shoulder the load of a, you know, everyday running back or every down running back, and also, you know, staying there in the pass game. I know Austin Eckler got a few chances last year whenever Gordon was out hurt. But as long as Gordon can stay healthy all year, I think he can definitely improve on what he did last year. So do you think he's worth a first round pick for you, Donnie?
Yeah, he's like right on that borderline. As you said, I have him at running back six. So depending on where you go in the first round, if you go a wide receiver or running back, I mean, he's right there. He's right on the borderline of a top 12 pick. And I mean, I know we're going to talk about Keenan Allen next, but I mean, other than Keenan Allen and Melvin Gordon, there's not a whole lot left on this offense. Like, those two are going to get the ball. They're going to be the focus, the focal point of the offense. Cause there's just, I mean, Austin Eckler's, he's not going to take any touches away from Melvin Gordon.
Yeah, I agree for sure. I think Melvin Gordon is probably right there at the tail end of the first round, just like Kareem Hunt. If he's there in the beginning of the second, I'm definitely going to pounce on him as well. I just think that along with Phillip Rivers, I think he's going to be more consistent on a week-to-week basis as far as, you know, providing the touches, providing possible touchdowns, and that's someone that I want to get in either the first or second round, someone that can give me guaranteed production.
And, I mean, Hunter Henry recently tore his ACL, so he's out for the year. And they don't really have a pass-catching tight end currently, so that we should also see, you know, more touchdown or red zone runs for Melvin Gordon, more chances for touchdowns at least.
Yeah, definitely. And moving over to Keenan Allen, like you said, he's the next guy in this offense and probably the last guy in this offense. That being said, do you have him as a top 10 wide receiver this year?
Yeah, I have him at wide receiver six. Basically, like, for the same reasons that we said for Melvin Gordon, you know, there's no clear wide receiver two on this team. There's really no competition for targets. He should get, you know, he should be one of the leaders in targets. He's a PPR monster. He catches what, 10 passes a game, it seems like.
Yeah, he had, you know, he started off the year hot and then he ended it off even more. You know, he had 10, 12, 11 catches in a few games straight. So he's actually my wide receiver number five. And like we've said before, he is the second horse in this offense. And there's only two horses that you need to draft as far as positionals go. But in a deeper league, Donnie, do you have any interest in a Travis Benjamin, a Mike Williams, Tyrell Williams, or Virgil Green / Antonio Gates?
I hope they don't bring back Antonio Gates. He's killed the Raiders so many times. I have some interest in Tyrell Williams and Mike Williams. Mike Williams obviously did not produce at all last year. A bigger receiver, you know, we thought would, you know, have a huge impact like an Alshon Jeffrey did, but obviously didn't. sometimes it takes a couple years for these wide receivers that are coming out of college to adjust. He, out of that group, he's the one I would expect to take over the wide receiver two spot. But I also would keep tabs on Tyrell Williams. He seems to always make plays and kind of, you know, produce.
Yeah, I agree as well. I think Mike Williams started off rough with the neck injury. So he got a late start to camp. He got a late start to the playbook and getting in sync with Phillip Rivers. So he's someone that I'm targeting towards the end of the draft if I'm in a best ball type draft or if I'm in a really deep league. As far as Travis Benjamin, he's kind of like Tyreek Hill, only worse. He's a one-trick pony. Tyrell Williams has a little bit of flash. So, you know, I'm a little bit interested in him towards the end of the draft, like the final pick. And as far as their tight end situation, I'm with you. I hope they don't sign Antonio Gates because he kills us every single year. But if they do, he might be, you know, a sleeper towards the end of the draft as well in a best ball situation, just because he'll probably get a lot of touchdowns.
Hunter Henry finally had his chance to take over the job, and then he tears his ACL.
Yeah, that was terrible in the offseason to see that happen, because he was going to come in this year and he was going to take over that position. And he was someone that I would have considered as, you know, their third horse as far as weapons go. I mean, he's produced his first 2 years in the league. So I thought this was definitely going to be his year. And unfortunately, he went and tore his ACL. So hopefully he has a speedy recovery. But for now, he's someone that obviously you can't draft this year. All right, Donnie, are you ready? The moment we've been waiting for. Let's dive into the Raiders. All right, let's start off with our boy, Derek Carr. Can John Gruden propel him into a top 10 fantasy quarterback this year?
Top 10, he should be close to that. I would say it doesn't even really matter how well John Gruden is as a head coach. Just having a competent coaching staff. I mean, I don't have to tell you, but for the people that don't follow the team, the coaching staff that they had in place last year was basically the, you know, there's high schools that have better coaching staffs than the Raiders did last year. Team quit on Del Rio after two games last season. Todd Downing, probably a high school offense coordinator. And we all know what happened with Ken Norton, fired during the season. But yeah, I see Carr bouncing back this year. He's healthy. His back should be completely healed now. There were rumors that he was playing through some pain last year, but now he's all healed up. You know, he should bounce back. I wouldn't say he's an MVP candidate, not like he was 2 years ago, but I mean, over 4,000 yards, 25 to 28 touchdowns puts him right at about a quarterback one. And I would expect close to those numbers this year.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. You have him a little bit ahead of me. You have him ranked 12th. I have him ranked 15th. But there is definitely a chance that he can, you know, hop back into where he was 2 years ago and become, you know, a top 10 fantasy quarterback. The problem with Derek Carr is he's not really out there for the stats. He's out there to win the games. So no matter how good the team is, I think he's going to have a ceiling as far as how good of a fantasy quarterback he can be. He's someone that I'm targeting if I don't have a confident first quarterback and I might have to find myself in like streaming situations or in a best ball format. He's someone that I'm definitely targeting there as well. I think with the weapon that they got this year, Martavis Bryant, Jordy Nelson, Jared Cook coming back, and Amari Cooper coming back as well, I think that only helps Derek Carr. Like you said, he's coming back completely healthy from his back injury. And there's only, you know, hopefully the only way he can go is up, especially with John Gruden being right there by his side and whispering in his ear. So I'm hoping for a top 10 fantasy quarterback season, but I'm also realistic and he might be just outside that, but definitely useful in any fantasy format.
Yeah. And I mean, they only won six games last year. They should bounce back, but their defense is still nowhere near top 10 defense. They're going to be down in a lot of games. Carr has led a bunch of comebacks since entering the league. That's something that is probably still going to have to happen for them to make the playoffs this year. They're definitely going to have games where he needs to go on game winning drives, to have dominant second halves, to have to basically, you know, abandon the run and just let Carr sling it to win games.
Yeah, he could have, like we said last year about Blake Bortles, garbage time. I mean, just garbage time production. And we're perfectly fine with that as fantasy owners. And we're also perfectly fine as long as the Raiders win the game eventually. But, you know, he's going to get his stats. And like you said, the defense isn't any better. It's a little bit better than it was last year, but it's not, like you said, a top 10 defense by any means. So he's still going to have all the opportunities to sling it around. And he also has, you know, not the best running back behind him. He's going on his age 32 season, Marshawn Lynch. Do you think he can still be a productive running back two for a fantasy team?
I mean, running back two, no. He's kind of like a flex guy, flex player. He could be a running back two in a deeper format. But like you said, he is 32, but he's not exactly a... He's not exactly like, you know, other 32 running backs. He was retired. He was suspended a lot. You know, he's doesn't exactly have all the carries of a 32-year-old running back. I still think he has, you know, some left in the tank. He's a bigger guy. He still can run through anybody. You know, he proved that last year. He actually played better down the stretch. And I think, you know, the new offensive staff will actually use their weapons correctly.
Yeah, I think so as well. And like you said, he's not the typical 32-year-old running back. Right now you have him ranked 27th, and I have him ranked 29th. So he's kind of as a back-end RB2 with, I think, with very little upside. There's a chance that he has a couple two or three touchdown games. But the problem that I see is, you know, there's four running backs on the roster right now. There's Lynch, Doug Martin, Jalen Richard, and DeAndre Washington. I see three of them making the roster, and I'm just worried that, you know, if Martin's one of them, then he'll cut into his touches. If Richard is one of them, he'll definitely have a passing role as well. So I think that his production is going to fall off. In a best ball format, I'll probably be more inclined to draft him because I don't have to guess which weeks he's going to score two or three touchdowns, because there are going to be some weeks where they completely abandon the run or he's not effective. And so, you know, in a regular fantasy league, in a standard fantasy league, if he's there as a flex, I'd feel a little bit more comfortable, like you said. But as my RB2, I don't think that he has the possibility to do that this year.
And the problem with the Raiders this year is that we have no idea what the offense is going to look like. Like, we don't know any of Gruden's tendencies, you know, what he prefers. We don't even know what type of offense he's going to run yet. He's been stealing plays and schemes and concepts for the last 10 years, but we don't really know what type of offense he's actually going to run. Some people think it's going to be run heavy. If it's run heavy, then Marshawn, obviously his value shoots up. If it's out of the gun, like the Patriots do, you know, then he has close to no value.
Yeah, they have to do something completely different than they did last year. And like we said, you know, Marshawn Lynch had a pretty decent year last year, but they have to completely change their whole offensive scheme in order to be successful and kind of revert back to what they did in 2016 whenever they won, you know, 10 or 12 games. So moving over to another acquisition that they had this offseason, going up against the guy that's been there for a while, as far as Amari Cooper and Jordy Nelson. So which one do you prefer given their values right now? Amari Cooper is being drafted as pick number 38 and Jordy Nelson is being drafted as pick number 86.
I don't really like either of those value wise. I do think this is going to be the year that Cooper breaks out. I know we say that every year, but we both basically gave up on Amari Cooper last year, but I think this is finally going to be the year with Jordy, you know, coached him up basically, and a tough coaching staff led by Gruden. I think this will be the year that he finally steps up, focuses on catching the ball, looking the ball in. You know, he's dynamic. All he's got to do is catch the ball. This has to be the year with Jordy in his ear, coaching him up, telling him what to do, showing him how to work, showing him how to improve, how to stay healthy, how to eat, you know, all that. I think this will be the year he finally does break out, but not.
So you're saying,
but not to not.
Sorry. So you're saying that all he has to do is catch the ball. That's it.
Yeah. That's really, that's all he's got to do.
I mean, it's so hard for him. I mean, he led the league in drops last year, a couple of years ago as well, coming into the league. So he is a dynamic player. He's a polished route runner. He has some speed. Picking him at pick number 38 is a little rich for me, just because you're kind of paying up for potential production. You're not getting a discount based off what he didn't show last year. So that being said, I think I'm more inclined to draft Jordy Nelson at his current price, which is pick number 86. I mean, if you're telling me I can get, you know, a top 10 wide receiver for the past, you know, 4 or 5 years, whenever he was healthy, in the seventh or eighth round, then I'm going to jump on that every time. I don't think that he's by any means done. I think there's still a little bit left in the tank, and I think Derek Carr can definitely get him the ball still.
Who has better hands, Darius Heyward Bey or Amari Cooper?
Amari Cooper. I mean, Darius Heyward Bey does not belong in the NFL unless he's on special teams.
He's probably made more plays than Amari Cooper has in the last 2 years.
Oh, don't say that. Don't say that.
Yeah, with Jordy, I mean, he might be, these last 5 years, he's probably been the best red zone target in the NFL. With Aaron Rodgers, that helps. James Jones once called Derek Carr the next Aaron Rodgers, so maybe that translates to Jordy Nelson still catching a lot of touchdowns.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely a chance, especially in this offense. If they open it up and they get Amari Cooper spread out in the slot or out wide, and they move, you know, Amari and Jordy all over the offense, I think there's a chance for both of them to maintain either wide receiver one or wide receiver two value the whole year.
And there's been articles and stuff going around that Gruden's going to move Cooper into the slot, which is something that he's excelled at before. So that's a big boost for him. And same with Jordy. He can also play the slot and the outside. So they can kind of change and go back and forth, and kind of depending on who they're playing and how the defense is lined up. But my favorite receiver is the next one.
Really? That's actually surprising, because my note here, is there any reason to own Martavis Bryant?
I love Martavis Bryant. He might be my favorite receiver in the NFL. Like, he just, and has nothing to do with like the pot and the suspension. It has nothing to do with that. It's just, he's a total freak athlete. Like, when he plays, all he's just always catching touchdowns, scoring touchdowns, making big plays. And it's like, people don't really know who he is, because he's always been suspended. He's still only 26. He is one suspension away, so from being out of the league, but he's too talented to just ignore. I would say there's a chance that Martavis Bryant outproduces Amari Cooper this year, but that's a little too crazy. Wow. To actually I won't say that, you know, too loud, because that's kind of crazy.
No, you said it. You said it. Yeah, you definitely said it. So it's recorded. It's in the airways now. So you said that Martavis Bryant will have a better year than Amari Cooper. That's all I heard.
I mean, if Amari Cooper plays like he did last year, it won't be too hard. Martavis Bryant's going to catch 10 touchdowns. So,
wow. Okay. Well, we are actually on the complete opposite end here. I see you have him ranked as wide receiver 48, which is decent, but I have him ranked as wide receiver 66. The reason being, I don't think this offense can sustain three productive wide receivers, let alone, you know, four with a Jared Cook or a running back mixed in there. But I do think Martavis Bryant sees the field a lot, However, I think it's more of a decoy slash, you know, personnel thing. I think he'll be the outside receiver on most, you know, on most passing downs, on most running downs as well, just because he's a big body, and defenses are definitely scared of his deep play ability and jump ball ability as well. But I think he might be great for our offense as far as, you know, a mismatch, but I don't see him getting enough, you know, enough work, enough targets in this offense to be, you know, to be relevant as far as fantasy goes. Now, if there's an injury to Jordy or Amari, then I can see it being completely different, and they might even, you know, focus on in on him being a, you know, a main cog in their offense. But as far as right now, I see him being more of a decoy. I might take a flyer on him in a best ball situation. But other than that, I'm probably not going to draft Martavis Bryant.
And with Martavis Bryant, like you said, he's probably one of the better receivers at catching the jump ball, and Carr has no problem throwing that up there as long as he trusts the receiver to come down with it. He throws jump balls to Amari Cooper all the time. And with Jordy Nelson, you never know how long he's going to play. He is an older receiver, 33. He hasn't exactly been healthy these last couple of years. I wouldn't be surprised if Martavis Bryant does overtake him at some point, just based on Jordy getting hurt.
Yeah, and it's definitely a possibility. But I think it was a brilliant idea as far as the Raiders taking a chance on him during the draft and trading a 6th-round pick for him. Like I said, he has breakaway speed. He can catch the jump ball. I don't see him catching 10 touchdowns like you said. But you know, he's definitely a guy that if something were to happen to the top two guys or one of the top two guys, he might be on my radar to pick up. So moving over to the last skill position on the Oakland Raiders, and that's Jared Cook. So last year, you know, he had a pretty decent year. He was a streamable tight end. And possibly started in every league just because tight end was so bad. But coming into this year, do you think he's going to be a top 10 tight end?
No. No. He finished, I think, 11th last year. He had a couple big games. I think the Chiefs game, he caught 2 touchdowns. But with them kind of changing up the whole offense, adding Jordy and Martavis Bryant, Switzer, some of the other moves they made, I kind of think that, you know, he won't get as many targets as he did last year. They also added a couple tight ends. They're mostly just blocking tight ends, but that still takes time away from him. I have him at tight end 14 currently.
Yeah, and I have him at tight end 17. He's just not a real sexy play, if you will. There's a lot of, you know, second year tight ends or third year tight ends that could have a better year, just based off of their quarterback or based off of the other weapons around them. So he's a guy that, you know, in a 2 tight end league, which I don't know why you would play in a 2 tight end league, but anything like that, he would be definitely on the radar. But as far as in a 1 tight end standard league, I'll probably take a chance on a more riskier or a more sexier pick than a Jared Cook.
Yeah, and we've talked about all the skill players so far, but a lot of their value is dependent on how well the quarterback plays. If Carr is able to bounce back, all these guys will return value. If not, you know, make you some value based off where they're going. This is a team that we both predict that will bounce back offensively, at least. And with Gruden calling the plays, I personally think that Carr bounces back in a big way. And these guys win 9 games, maybe make the playoffs. But anyways, all these position players should improve off what they did last year, basically.
Yeah, definitely. And I'm going to throw you a curveball, Donnie. I'm going to ask you for a sleeper in this division in the AFC West. So I've picked one out. I'm going to go with Spencer Ware, the running back in Kansas City, just because coming into last year, he was supposed to be the starting running back and Kareem Hunt was going to be sprinkled in on a few plays. But he got injured in the preseason and Kareem Hunt ran away with the job. But if Kareem Hunt gets hurt or if he comes out of the gate slow, I definitely see Andy Reid going back to his guy and Spencer Ware and giving him either some goal line work or some first or second down work as well. So he's a guy that maybe at the end of a best ball draft, or if you're into handcuffing your top running back, he's a guy that I would definitely target out of this division.
Yeah, for me, I mean, it would probably be Martavis Bryant. Obviously, I'm a big fan. Or I would have to take Mike Williams, also a very, very talented guy that hasn't lived up to expectations. And, you know, the wide receiver two position job is wide open. It should be his. There should be targets for him with Philip throwing the ball 30 to 40 times a game. Those were the two guys that I would, if it bounces all right, those guys could definitely, you know, break out.
Yeah, those are two names to keep in mind as well. And that has been the FWFB AFC West preview. Once again, my name is Colin Weatherwax. You can find me on Twitter at CWeatherwax13. And Donnie, if you'll give him your Twitter handle real quick.
It's at Donnie Miller FWFB.
All right, guys. So reach out to us if you have any questions or comments about Donnie's bold predictions today for the Raiders offense. If you have any other Raiders questions, feel free to reach out to either of us as well. We're diehard Raider fans, if you couldn't tell. So other than that, thanks for joining us on the FWFB Football Podcast, and have a great football season, everyone.